You are listening to another edition of POCC Block Report Radio with the Minister of Information, JR. Today, we're going to be talking about the egregious case of the Scott sisters with their mother, Miss Roscoe Bell. Miss Roscoe, not Miss Roscoe Bell. I'm mixing you up with somebody else. With Miss Roscoe. Miss Roscoe, can you give us basically... can you start us off with this, with the Scott sisters case? What year did this case start? What part of the country did this case start in, and what happened?
Well, it started in 1993 with my daughters, Jamie and Gladys Scott, being convicted of an armed robbery in Forest, Mississippi, in Scott County, where they allegedly supposed to commit an armed robbery, where state witnesses testified that they netted $11 out of the robbery. My daughters were given a double life sentence each, initially with no chance of parole, but that was later took off of them. So now they're serving a double life sentence, and they have been there 15 years as of October the 7th. So it's been a lot going on in their case. And like I said, it was an alleged robbery of two black males in the state of Mississippi.
Now, I understand that there has been some breaking news. Can you speak to the breaking news and how it relates to the history of this case?
Yes, the breaking news was today, January 22nd, was that Jamie has been had a kidney failure for over 2 weeks. She had been laying in the infirmary in the hospital without being moved to a proper hospital so she could receive a splint to go into her body to be able to take dialysis because both of her kidneys have shut down. So all of my supporters have been emailing and calling the prison and causing a lot of ruckus at the prison till they finally moved Jamie today and took her to the hospital in order to have the surgery, to have the splint put in so she could receive dialysis. But without all of my supporters, Jamie was receiving no good medical care at the prison there at all.
Miss Roscoe, can you tell us, give us some of the insides of the court? Can you give us some of the insides of this case? Why are so many people around the country so struck by this case?
Because for one thing, they were given a double life sentence, and like I said, one of the state witnesses testified that only $11 was netted in the robbery, and a lot of people just can't believe that you could get a double life sentence. And no one was killed, no one was hurt, no one was taken to the hospital, and then the really bad part about Jamie and Gladys' case. If anybody, you know, everybody that read the court transcript can see where even the victims testified in open court that Jamie and Gladys never took anything from them. So the whole case was set up on Jamie and Gladys told these boys to commit the robbery. So that was basically what the whole case was set up on, that they told someone to do something. And like I said, they've been there for 15 years. They don't come up for parole for 20 years.
Wow. How has this case affected your family in particular? I understand that the children live with their grandmother, you.
Yes. It has destroyed our family. It has caused all of us to have a lot of mental depression because the children don't understand how someone could get a double life sentence and they never touched anyone. The children look at TV a lot. They see murderers, rapists, people that kill children and do all kind of bad crimes, and they don't get no two life sentences. So it has caused a lot of mental depression throughout my whole family about what has happened to Jamie and Gladys. And the kids don't really know their mother, you know, no more than me, communicating with them, and we have went to see them some, but other than that, just personally knowing their mother, they just don't know their mothers. So it's just really been hard for the children. It's been extremely hard.
What would you like to see happen in this case, and what is it that people that are listening to this right here can help you do?
I would like to see Jamie and Gladys come home. That's what I would like to see happen out of this case. And what people can do, they could just keep emailing, writing, calling all the proper officials to try to get them, you know, out of prison. And the FBI is working on their case, have been on their case for months now. And their case have been officially reopened. But so far, nothing has happened. So it's still under an investigation with the FBI, as far as I know. But like I said, nothing has really happened. And now Jamie's health has turned so bad until, you know, I'm afraid that if she's not, if we don't get her out of there, that, you know, she could lose all of her health. Because in the prison, they don't get no good medical attention.
So is she in a prison hospital? Is she in a prison hospital or is she in a regular hospital?
Well, my daughter Gladys called me today and told me that she's in a Central Mississippi medical center. So as far as I know, I think it's a prison hospital. But Gladys was told that Jamie was going to be took to a regular hospital. But I think that's where they take the inmates, is to the Central Mississippi Medical Center.
How is Jamie's kidney failure affecting her children and her, as well as her sister's children?
Well, the children been all upset and crying because, you know, they felt like that maybe, you know, she was finna die by her, both of her kidneys shutting down like they did. So the kids just been real upset. You know, Jamie kids, they've been crying and, like I said, just real upset. But I have got them settled down now, and today we received the good news that she had been moved to the hospital and that they had did the surgery to put the splint in for her dialysis. So the children feel a little better about that, but still, they just like me. They can't understand how this could be permitted to happen and to go on for 15 years and nobody got killed, nobody got hurt. And Jamie and Gladys had no prior criminal records whatsoever. So it's like a first-time offense, and you get a double life sentence, and nobody got killed.
That's crazy.
So, you know, it's hard for the children to understand, but I try to talk to them as much as I can and make them understand how people could, you know, kind of sometimes put things in places and do what they want to. And once you hooked in the system, then it's a lot of trouble to get you out. So the kids understand that, but they're just hoping and praying that I'll just keep on, you know, with all my supporters I got behind me, that finally they would, you know, have enough pressure put on them to let them out. Because if not, they have to stay there 20 years before they even come up for parole.
What do Gladys and Jamie Scott talk to you, their mother? What do you guys talk about on the phone? I know, of course, you talk about personal things, but how do they feel about this case politically? How are they being treated behind enemy lines while they're in these concentration camps? Can you just speak to some of the political discussions that you guys have?
Well, we just talk about, you know, what mostly about the children and, you know, and how they're doing and what's going on with them. And then Jamie and Gladys tell me about a lot of things that's going on with them inside the prison and how they have been mistreated and a lot of time didn't receive the rights that other inmates in the prison received because of my fight over the internet to try to free them. So they haven't had a good time in prison. It has really been rough on them because they have suffered a lot of things that the other inmates don't suffer, a lot of harassment and abuse by the guards. So it's real hard on them, but they both strong and they just, you know, they just determined that is nothing they can do but be strong and keep their mind strong until they could get up out of there. So they, to me, they do fine for somebody that's been in prison for 15 years. To me, you know, as far as keeping they sanity.
Right.
In other words, you know, but they both depressed. They're very depressed, and they just want to come home, and they just don't feel like they should be there. And
they
feel like, you know, that we need help.
Do they communicate with each other?
No, they don't, because Jamie was put in the hole for 23 days back in May. And when they put her in the hole, they moved her to the end of the prison where she could have no contact with Gladys, not even see Gladys or anything. So Jamie and Gladys really haven't really saw each other since May. But my attorney, I have an attorney, her name is Jeruba Hill from Greenville, Mississippi. My attorney had made arrangements with the commissioner to get permission so they would be able to meet. They were supposed to have a meeting this Wednesday the 20th. But after Jamie got so sick, then they didn't have the meeting and they weren't able to see each other. So they're very upset about not being able to see each other because for all those years, for 14 years, they have been able to see each other every day and talk to each other and everything. But after all that happened to Jamie about her going to the hole, then they took Jamie custody away from her and moved her, like I said, to the end of the prison on the men's side.
What do you mean took her custody away from her?
They busted her custody. Okay, like they busted her custody down to like she first arrived to prison. All because she was rolled up for being in the gym. And she was in the gym coming from the clinic and a guard let her in the gym because she had to use the bathroom. And it wasn't a guard, it was a trustee that let her in a door that usually be locked all the time. So assistant warden had a grudge against Jamie. And so when she saw Jamie coming out of the gym, she automatically had her thrown into the hole for 23 days. Jamie received no medication at all while she was in the hole. Jamie didn't receive medication until all of my supporters kept emailing and sending letters and faxes about her not being able to receive her medicine. So they finally started giving her medicine, I say after about 30 days. Before she really started to get her medicine. And then the medicine they were giving her was not the right medicine. The doctor there had told her that the medicine that she really needed, the state would not pay for it. So they have just been giving her, you know, whatever they had that the state would pay for it. And I also found out from Jamie that one of the specialists there at the prison, the kidney specialist, told Jamie that the medication that they had her on could have triggered her kidney shutting down.
Wow. So they caused the kidney failure is basically
right.
What you're saying.
Right.
Can you give the people somewhere online or how can the people stay in touch with what's going on with you as well as what's going on with the Scott sisters? Is there anywhere online or somewhere where they can call or email or any of that?
Yes, they could go on my site. I have a site. It's www.freethescottsisters.blogspot.com.
All right. Well, I want to definitely thank you, Ms. Roscoe, for explaining the plight of your daughters, Gladys and Jamie Scott, right here on the Block Report. As you talked about their imprisonment of over 15 years, they won't come up for parole for another 20 years.
No, for five more, 20 years in all, before they come up for parole.
They will not come up for parole for another, what you say, 20
years? 5 years.
Oh, they will not come up for parole for another 5 years, 20 years total.
Right.
For a murder, for a robbery that netted $11.
Yes. And no one was killed, no one was hurt, no one was taken to the hospital. And even the victims testified in open court that Jamie never took anything from them, Gladys never took anything from them. Neither one of the girls ever pulled a weapon on them or anything. The whole case was built on that they told these boys to do this. That was the state case.
This is the Minister of Information, J.R., with Ms. Roscoe, the mother of the Scott sister. And we the mother of the Scott sisters, and we signing off. If you would like to get more information on the Block Report, you can hit up blockreportradio.com. Again, thank you, Ms. Roscoe, and we out. All right, thank you, Ms.